This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Everybody here, right? The good and the best thing of this conference is that once I come in here, if I don't talk the first, when I hear the others, I want to change everything. And the truth is that I want to tell a little the story, just 2 seconds, how I meet Marjorie. Tess is one of the few artists I respect in America. I'm very radical in my test, who I like and I don't like. And this is famous already. That's what they saw me from every country. I really, what happened with me, with Marjorie, when I was invited by Jean-Michel first and then by you, to look at the world, I saw the slides. I didn't like it very much because I have, by looking in small size slides, I saw there was some kind of neoconstructivist paintings which were close to the guy from Poland, Henry, which I know because I showed the same gallery 20 years ago. Then I went to see the work. And it happened to me what happened with Cecil Taylor. I don't know if you are familiar with the work of Cecil Taylor, the pianist. I would not say the jazz piano because it's more than jazz. And it also has to do where is the limit of people playing jazz or people making paintings. And she's not a painter. And by after what I hear here, I see that the latest work, which is what interests me the more, like a farewell to painting. A farewell to painting in a good sense, not farewell to art. I think that what happened with Marjorie when I went to see the show, the only thing I saw was a show in New York about 2 months ago, personally. Happened what happened with Cecil Taylor, which I knew before much more, but I never have seen him personally. And then one day I go to the knitting factory and I see him, and after a few minutes, I see the history of music. I don't know how, but which formal context, but which formal format. Suddenly I was listening to Beethoven, to Bach, to everything I like. And it was not that, but it was there with somebody who has an enormous feeling to transmit me the history of the whole thing. I reject the idea of art, which is only a piece. The same happened when I went to see the work of Marjorie. I went into the room, and I feel, this is wonderful. I will stop. My criteria is when I walk into the show, I stop in some places, in a museum, and I look something which I don't understand, which I cannot be déjà vu. And when I saw the show, amazingly enough, I say, my God, here is something. And it was. And the only thing I can never explain is the thing that really moved me. So I'm not going to explain the work of Marjorie. I will just comment. I prepared for this context 3 stupid stories. Sure, in order to promote discussion. They're for children, because I think most of the art we see in New York is for children. They are metaphor for 3 years old, especially lately. And I don't want to be very intelligent, which I'm not, because in this country, if you're very intelligent, the critics don't write about you. They want to see you intelligent. You have to be stupid like a painter. And if you are very stupid, you risk the risk to become in a high position in the government. So you have to be also careful not to be very stupid. Okay, the stories I'm going to read with my Spanglish, I hope you can understand, and if you don't understand, you will feel, which is very good. Who knows the difference between feeling and understanding? A stupid like a painter or the return of the horse. The first story, which is very short, is called The Good Painter, and of course, everything has to be autobiographic in order to be good. Being an Argentinian adolescent artist was not easy. As soon as I began to interact with artistic milieu in Buenos Aires in the 50s, I was submitted with obsessive frequency to the sentence, but he's a good painter. From about 10 years until 20 years old, I desperately tried to understand in the cafe and bars in where we were used to meet, in which Borges used to cross the street. What is the meaning of being a good painter? The different answers were concerned at times with the quality of the texture on the canvas, at times with the construction of the form of the figure, the flatness, or with the purity of the pigment. So it was very difficult to put together a precise definition. I have available to me only the contextualized particular fragments of different discourse. How right Duchamp was in his commentary on the IQ of painters, when he proposed the phrase, stupid like a painter. We should not forget that the 50s were particularly difficult, at least in Argentina, for those who wish to talk about artists as a category, because they were only painters or draftsmen or printmakers. The concept of an artist who think and direct his ideas visually was simply not common in Buenos Aires at that time. This is a short story. Now the comment. Tragically, this peripheral phenomenon that I saw in Argentina is much too frequently observed as well in the galleries of New York today. Of the few artists who are definitely hot, meaning being in fashion because of prestige or for evidencing astonishing innovation, opportunism, gender promotion, other means of self-legitimization, most of the galleries, even the prestigious ones, put their bids on good painters, which of course will have the upper-class, kitschy, marketable desire for the majority of American collectors. Here is where the work and the practice of majority comes to light and shines for us in a scenario desperately in need of illumination. She is not a good painter. She is a good artist. And she's a good artist because she looks wonderfully ugly in her work. We will comment later what is to be ugly or not. She's really wonderful ugly. The paintings are terrible. And I think this is great, especially in New York. Because there is always a strategical point of view you shall to take vis-a-vis what happened around you. Otherwise, there is not art. And who teaches Duchamp better than anybody else how to move the strategy according to what happened in the reality? Art cannot be without the context, the sociability, the marketing, etc., etc., that we are all victims in a way or another. Okay, so just to finish the first story and we go to the dialogue, I see that her work by himself is a definition of art. And this is what I require for every artist, whatever it is figuration, whatever it is abstraction, whatever it is. Each artist, which is absolutely interesting for me, is the artist in which his work is his definition of what is art. And that's why when you grow older, you less and less love the other artists. Going back when I saw the show, I immediately realized that it's absolutely fanatic like me, that the work is her definition of art, and she doesn't produce effect déjà vu. And this lack of beauty, in fact, makes her work profoundly sensitive and tragic. I think the work is tragic. I feel like I'm in front of a movie that shows me the difficult and painful road required today to make a painting that in turn makes sense. What really I feel was the enormous work you did to make sense to make a painting today. It's not because I don't think it's possible to do a painting, but it's very difficult, and you do it. Okay, now we can talk. This is the first stupid story. Then we are going to the second story, which is called You Need a Good Lie. And the third small story is The Return of the Horse.
Okay, well, I have a first stupid question and then some more improvisational words. So, Osvaldo, you've alluded to a distinction between a beauty that is ugly, which you associate with Marjorie's work, and a beauty that is good because, quote, perfect and, quote, hot. Can you elaborate then on why an ugly beauty is more profound than a perfect beauty, and two, the relation of an ugly beauty to aura and to kitsch?
Well, I think that let's talk about, that was a form of the parler, a figure of this call, what I say, a wonderful ugliness, because of course, I wouldn't mean to the definition between beauty or not, because beauty is a relatively, absolutely contextual thing, and I will not pretend to define what is beauty for the American people especially, because everybody says the American people want, nobody speaks of different people here. And coming back to the point, I think that the which interests me mainly from my point of view as an artist in the work, is what I call aura degree zero. She's almost in a situation in which the aura disappears. And this is very interesting for me. It's very interesting because, not because I believe that I have to be without aura. Don't take it for granted. I'm not related. Because there are moments that I will paint myself copies with my hand of Titian in order to come back to the aura. But in this moment, infected by the market and by the pragmatic and absolutely mercantile. Well, you understand the Spanish too. There are a lot of Puerto Ricans in this country. The mercantile, when you understand the mercantile in position in the art scene today, how everything depends, which I will not blame only the galleries, have to do with the curators, have to do with the museum people, have to do with the artist by himself, and with the galleries, which are boutiques, and don't represent anymore any ideology or any line. Out of two or three who, I don't want to make names. So for me, the problem of our degree zero in this moment, it is a kind of ecological need. And it's not because I think that this is going to be for a long time. Depends where. Again, one thing is what can happen in Peru or in Bolivia. One thing is what can happen in the Middle East. I'm not talking about Israel, which is not the Middle East. I'm talking more to the Middle East, to the other East, in which there are ideas about ours which are different from ours for the time being. I'm not talking about, I'm in general believe that in the context of which is the center of the world for art, which I don't agree, the idea of art of degree zero purify and activate the clash, how do you say the clash? Yes. A complete operation of clean the corruption of the Javi, the corruption of formalism, the corruption of the sickness who's still around of Greenberg, and other sequences which have completely polluted the situation of art. And that's why I was so interested in the ugliness of the work. When I say ugliness, for me it's not ugliness. It was simple, for the work, the complexity in this moment in New York is ugliness. Complexity is ugly, she's complex. Texture, she doesn't texture the canvas. Terrible. How it's happened that the plane of yellow, no, she doesn't. She is totally functional in the work. Also, each one, as the other guy said, I don't know the name, it is true that it's like a poetry in the sense that the format exists and she turns the scenes from one place to another. But every time they turn to one thing or another, they know the way. And they know how the factura, the brushstroke, she is a painter telling the story of the grammatic of painting. Now, this is very important in this moment, not because you are the first or the last to do it, it's because this is a moment to say certain kind of discourse vis-a-vis what happened around us. We cannot anymore, like Picasso and Braque, which, by the way, they did discourses concerning their time, but the time changed so fast now that it's very difficult to be an artist static in one position for many, many times. And in that sense, and I want to come back to the question because it's not like Zufra, she is an artist which interests me, first because the absolutely, honestly, and modestly in which she paints, by the lack of luxurious and glamour, and because she posed questions about the future of painting.
But I want to go back to a scene. First off, as you know, I work a lot with the internet, and the internet is notable, the web is notable, because it renders images or art decorative or retinal when you see it on the screen.
Oh, no.
But I think there's a similarity there between what I perceive to be the experience of seeing art online and what you experienced when you saw the slides of Marjorie's work. You had not seen the
painting. Well, you see, then we come back to the important question, why it's important to be painting, when it's important to be painting.
But also the need to experience her work.
And also because a painting, I mean, in my modest opinion, which is not so modest, a painting should be done only when it's impossible to say that with another medium. And this is what I think that is what the work of Marjorie is relevant. Everything have to become so functional. By the way, you know, I don't think anymore that the dilemma here is modernism, postmodernism. The dilemma here in this moment in New York is low kitsch or high kitsch. This is my new conception of what happened today. And when I say New York, it's not because New York is guilty of everything, wonderful city. But you know, when you say New York, is what is going to happen then in Paris with Templon, because Templon will take the gallery from here, buy so many paintings. Or what happened in Philadelphia when this Chinese girl who directs this gallery, which I don't know never the name, will take and buy three paintings of Gerhard Richter to show off that she shows Gerhard Richter. By the way, Gerhard Richter should be in the discussion today in the show, because after the show of Marjorie, I go to see Richter, some of the last paintings of Richter, it looks to me like high kitsch.
Note that Marjorie also had a poem recently published in the Bulletin for MoMA for the Richter show. So I don't want to make it an autobiographical turn to your work as opposed to Marjorie's too much, but you recently aligned in the late recent days your work with high kitsch?
No. No, there is three categories. I will define. There is low kitsch. I don't want to give name, but you can go now to Gagosian to see it. You have, an artist which I used to respect a lot, Richard Serra, which is high kitsch today, and who look like big size jewelry. And then you have what I consider, what I'm trying to push, and it's what I call cultural kitsch. And it's a critique of kitsch through the medium, which is always what I have been done in the 70s, when I made a critique of the possibility of painting through painting. I think that these three categories are going to be around soon. Low kitsch, high kitsch, and cultural kitsch. Pittura culta, but done in a way, because the problem is not what we want to do. The problem is how we can transmit our ideas and our revolution or our ideas through other people without using the system. I don't believe it's possible, only it is war. Nobody wants war anymore. Well, it seems that somebody is. But what I'm saying is, what I'm trying to say is that we have to use a system. So a system we have to use will be kitsch. The problem is how this kitsch is going to be a critique or commentary. And this is where, okay, I don't want to elaborate more because it's my problem, not her problem. Let's go on.
I think the next issue is the return of the horse, number two.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to read the second stupid story. And the story is called You Need a Good Lie. When looking at the history of art from the last two centuries, I will make it more easy. You observe that as soon as the subject matter departs from nature, from the mimesis, you need to construct a theoria who supplies the one-to-one reference, analogical reference to the model, in that case, nature. And the theoria from Impressionism until our days have been growing more and more complex to the point, it also have to do, I'm talking from the aesthetical point of view, there are social points of view, why this theory become more complex and why the avant-garde was against the bourgeoisie and today the bourgeoisie by apparently the avant-garde. I mean, there are many things which cannot be seen in the context of this situation. But evidently, if I take the discourse in which an artist is supposed to invent a reason why he departs from nature, has been more complex, more complex, and more complex. And this is the situation that in abstraction especially, after the self-referential open of Cézanne, right, to the painting per se as self-referential, we can say that Mondrian closed brilliantly, superbly, the idea of reference by the reference to the border. Then we are in the hands of Clement Greenberg. And then, here comes the problem.
It's a good story.
The story comes now. You go in a road at 180 miles an hour. The police stop you. You need a good lie, otherwise you're lost. Today, to make an abstract painter, you need a good lie, a very good one. To be a painter, you need a good lie. Unless you don't have a good lie, you cannot be. You can be, but as a personal individual, you can be everything, as a therapy. I know so many people who go and make ceramic because the psychiatrist say you should do something with your hand. I'm talking about being participant as somebody who is in a discourse with the city and who lives with the cultural milieu. So you need such a big lie that it's almost impossible. But if you have a good lie, then probably the cop will say, okay, go. And then again, we go to the point of Marjorie come to my mind, because after the show, I will say she doesn't have to invent a lie. Why? Though her car is speeding at enormous speed, she's not in the road. She's in another dimension in which these laws don't apply. I don't know if that road is not the same because the theoretical and the sophisticated way in which she put her car to speed, or because the media have been defensified so much that we are outcasters. Somebody like her, like me, we don't exist for the art world unless there are few people who can really look carefully. We don't claim the attention immediately. And I think that this makes us play probably in that identify with you in another kind of role. But again, the idea of the lying means if you have a good lie. By the way, I create many monsters. Many of my assistants are abstract painters in New York. I don't want to say their names. Very successful. She knows them. They are very successful. They go to the next documenta. They go there. And the problem is that they took the lie from me. But they use it 10 years later.
Well, my question is dependent upon your third paragraph.
You want me to read that? I forgot. Oh, what is it?
No,
what made the story? Where?
Yeah,
Clement Greenberg.
Precisely. What makes the story of Marjorie's work different from that of Nolan?
I think what makes the story of Marjorie different from Nolan, Morris Lewis, or any other artist who live near the Greenberg cult is the following. Her discourse through Hamlet's objective is especially about painting and grammar. Grammar, how you say grammar? Grammatical. Okay. She's a kind of storyteller, and her work is a kind of commentary on the difficulty of painting. Her work does not imply a tricky gag so as to conform or belong to a school of abstraction. Nor does she put herself in a ridiculous position of many abstract artists today, my students, my ex-students, who pretend to save abstraction from its inevitable fate in decoration. That was missing.
Exactly.
No,
so, in that last paragraph, why did you mention Nolan and Lewis, but not Pollock, Neiman, Klein, or Rothko?
I didn't mention apropos Pollock and Rothko because I believe that they were breaking the ice. They were gonna be, they didn't have aura. You have to imagine what with Pollock did, the dripping. My God, people look at the scene, and there was not aura there. When already Greenberg, by pushing so strongly the I will say the Marshall Plan cultural of America to dominate the world culturally, what he did, in fact, was to create people who were aesthetically possible already, who were the second generation, who, when you look today at some of the paintings of Nolan, what Nolan is doing again, the circles, by the way, I was with my accountant the other day, with my taxes, he's the accountant of Nolan, and I saw the circles again. He came back, but better go to Miami today like a good American. So coming back to the point, I think that I really see the desperation of Pollock in the work of Pollock. I see the tragic life of Rothko in his suicide, in his painting. You can see the last paintings of Pollock in the Guggenheim retrospective, coming to the totally black. You see they were really, really using the biography to produce a work of art. Their own trauma, what I would call the primal trauma of every being who wants to express himself. The second generation was articulated by Greenberg. By the way, I like the word Greenberg, right? I think he's a brilliant writer. I think that some of the things he did were fantastic. His definition of kitsch is incredible. Today it doesn't apply anymore. But I think that we cannot confuse the lack of aura of the first generation with the decorative tendencies who were in the second generation. I don't see a big differential. I'm sorry what I'm going to say because I'm Argentinian and I'm so poor like Argentina, I'm going to disregard my opinion. But I don't see a big difference between Paul Jenkins and Morris Lewis. It's a matter of a little more or less. You know, the one that took the camera that did and the other did with the brush. I mean, it is true that God is in the details. And it is true that the difference between a great artist and a small artist is very small. By the way, when you show now the Domenico Veneziano, he's an extraordinary artist. And when you put next to him somebody with more name, the differences are very small. And it's always that way. So I don't believe that Jenkins is much more commercial than Morris Lewis today when you see the work. And this is, the story has to be rewrite one day for every country. And the story will come back. And that's why I say, I didn't mention apropos Rothko, I didn't mention Klein, I didn't mention Pollock, I didn't mention, by the way, Clifford Steele, which is a very interesting artist. Again, I don't think that it is right the story yet, because I see that Clifford Steele still on the way. Every time I see a work of Clifford Steele, I go, my God, how he was, how he precluded Stella, black painting, when he used a brush, and you can see the mark of the brush creating the form in different direction, and the association with the black painting of Stella, when he takes the brush and the form is a consequence of the tool, which is a kind of introduction into fundamental painting, what Americans call fundamental painting. There were no many fundamental paintings in America for the tragedy of America because the market doesn't let this kind of work be. Go on.
Well, thank you. I'd like to turn to the past a little bit. Could you classify or approach your work in the 1970s in relation to that of Marjorie's today?
Right.
Although they're not the same as...
No, there is a kind of activity. By the way, the fact that it's in the 70s, she did at night doesn't mean nothing. Because you asked me this the other day, and I say, each one makes questions when he can and when he's ready to do it, or when he wants to do it. And also the fact that I was not an American, and I was living at the time that I did these works, I was living in Israel, desperately in a milieu who didn't know who I was, and everybody would come in and tell me, I tell you what to do. So I really feel very bad because I was coming, running from the Argentinian tragedy, And the truth is that for me at that moment was very important to ask myself the question, what is possible to paint? And I was desperate, so I began to do color classifications. I mean, I just practiced the practice per se without any intention to show it. One day I saw enormous amount of color classification when I put the names, and I realized, you know, why can't Lichtenstein to make a comic big size and I can do an exercise big size? I was trying to do an ontological research on painting. It was different from Richter, which I knew at that time, and we changed ideas in the 70s, very early 70s. And though most of the analytische Malerei, who was called in Germany, which I was more active in the early 70s, was about, and the group support Surface, who was in France under the copinage of Plenet, how is it copinage? The protection of Plenet, under the protection of Marcelin Plenet, an extraordinary poet, by the way, and critic, extraordinary intellect. When you see, the difference was that the French were working mainly with the support as materiality. Suppose Surface was really taking the painting and taking the pieces of the canvas and working with the materiality. The Germans, like Richter and some other people, were working with the texture, the reality of the light vis-à-vis the texture. The work that you see in the show of Richter of the 71, 72, 73, in which he worked with texture, gesture, and other things. My approach was, by the influence of Heidegger and different philosophy, to go to the essentials. So I was trying to see which system will afford me to create a painting. I did it on canvas, though I can do it in any other medium, because I wanted the tradition of the canvas to become part of the scene, like Rivera, when he did his mural, did it with fresco, and not with synthetic polymer like Cicado, who was always stupid. So the question coming back to the problem is, I did a more ontological, if you want, a phenomenological research. And in one moment I stopped because I did a color and I put a name, and I realized that the only thing I can do about the color, for me, was to put the name of the color I used. So when I did the canvas, and when I put one red and put red camion, and I put a factory that did it, I stopped to paint. That kind of painting. For me, it was finished. It doesn't mean for all that somebody else can go on. So the relation is because I've seen that in the work of Marjorie, like in the work of many people, who were specifically looking to see what is the go out of the cul-de-sac of a painting, was in different direction, and each one who's different culture, different training, was trying to desperately try to give a solution to the cul-de-sac, always pretending that the Transvanguardia doesn't exist, because of course they come to Transvanguardia and everything is finished. I mean, everything is possible. You can do what you want. This kind of pluralism, which is not pluralism, but fascism, in fact, infected the art market until today. Everything is possible. In art, not everything is possible. Few things are possible.
I think it's time for the return of the horse.
Okay. Yeah. The return of the horse. Now, and again, this is a very caricaturesque exaggeration. But these are the stories I tell my students. Because I believe that for teaching, what you have to do, and I'm basically a teacher, which transforms his theoria of teaching into icons, because I believe in didactic as a solution for the painting probably this moment. By the way, that was the great painting of the past, right? What about the great Leonardo, if not didactic? Maybe we should come back to didactics, which are really, love and didactics are very close. The return of the horse is, and I'm not talking about my technique of the Trojan horse, because I use the technique of Trojan horse, by the way. The return of the horses is, painting has become almost an aristocratic activity, something like riding horses. But this is not where the similarity ends. Let's remember that some centuries ago, it was impossible to go from New York to Philadelphia without a good horse, just as it was impossible to show somebody's features without a good portrait painting. Without doubt, the similarities don't end here. Both underwent mutations, which made them, in a way, anachronistic to the original functions. Today, transportation is not reliant upon the horse, and contemporary art, in turn, has enormously reduced the activity of painting as the primary mode of expression. It is now a secondary form. You're writing it wrong here.
This is my version, that was
yours. No, so you change the version. Well, whatever. What once was transport is today a sport. This is my motto. What once was transport is today sport. The question remains if, as when the function of a horse will return to be transportation, and if it's possible, and when will return. Will painting become the central issue in contemporary art again? If so, when? Question appropriate to our debate. When does a special situation allow for the return of an old form of expression? Sometimes a geographical situation like mountains with a special terrain or military strategy like in Afghanistan, I want to be a little about what happened, requires horses. I hear that Osama bin Laden was seen running in a horse. So, see the relation of painting, horses, bin Laden, terrorism, you run in a horse. I mean, there are situations, and I will refer later on about center and periferia. What happens when you are in the middle of Jujuy in Argentina or in Bolivia, and you need to communicate, I mean, probably you have to come back to the horse. The problem is how you will do it. I think, by the way, that Rivera come back to the horse, but in which brilliant way. Will return painting to his original function, or will be replaced by video, holograms, or other media? Does the horse return as it is, or will we replace it by mechanical horse? What is the future of painting in this moment? It seems, unless it is retro, the field of painting is reduced to commentary or paintings which try to explore the limited possibility of a subject. What is possible to do in painting cannot be done in anything else. Here again, we come to the work of Marjorie, because her late work articulates with enormous insight the mechanism of modernist painting in a manner impossible to describe in words. One of the things why your work interests me is because I cannot describe it. I cannot describe it. And in that sense, I agree with you that you know, poetry is not possible to describe either. And that's what I like more poetry than prose. Because in poetry, I still, you know, and the other thing which is a criteria for the work of art is that when you see a work of art, if you stay in the icon, that's bad. But if the icon throw you far away, and you fly far away, and you come back to the icon, this is what the work of art is all about. And I think that that happened. In a sense, I feel myself... Well, the didactics in Marjorie's work is expressive only pictorically. She's not expressive. That's also very important. It's expressive only pictorically. I cannot articulate any writing or explanation. Maybe it's why I'm using these jokes today. The work of art, in a case of painting, physically embodies his meaning. She creates a lot of empty space for the viewer so that he can articulate his own discourse about what he sees. Because I don't... almost I say that word. I don't care. I don't care... I don't care what an artist, I say that all the time, what an artist feels when he paints. What I care what he makes people feel. Because I believe, in this, you see, I take always the example of the theater. When I was young, I used to work in a theater of the left Jewish people in Argentina. So I used to be always helping and being in this side of the scenario. And I saw people eating onions. You know, and speaking in English and insulting each other, and in 2 minutes they will go into the scenario from the back, and they become soft, beautiful, calm. This is what I believe, is what you provoke in the others, which makes sense, and not what you feel. What you feel, go to the therapist, or to your mom, or to your wife, or whatever. Okay, in the case of... coming up, she creates a lot of empty space for the viewer so that she can articulate his own discourse about what he sees. As is the case of any other field of complex expression, the work of Marjorie Welch requires knowledge and sophistication. In her case, and against Grimmer's idea of reduction of content, her work shows a very interesting thesis, in my opinion. The more you know, the more you get. I think I'm done. Yes, the three stories were this one.
My question is quite simple. Can you extend this metaphor of the horse to the following question? How does the horse return in a way that is functional?
Well, it can return. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not going to say here that the horse is dead or painting doesn't exist, because this is ridiculous. By the way, the show of Richter, and we should commend the show of Richter, whether we like it or not, because it's there. It's an enormous amount of work. Some of them of incredible value, in my opinion. Incredible value. I like more the catalog of the show, by the way. And I think because Niki did a wonderful job. The text is very good. The text of, and also the interview with Richter is amazingly open for, because Richter is somebody very suspicious, like every German from the East. So he's very careful that nobody touches his ass. So the question is, no, he's very careful. I think that the point of the return of the horse, yes, the horse can return because there have been periods in history of art in which there was iconoclastic. There was ideas that, you know, they will destroy the image. They have been enormous. You see, the Romans were talking in the bathroom and saying, the culture is finished, the barbarians are coming. The barbarians create all the culture will belong. So I can't say that we are finished. What happened now with Islam can be a totally, if Islam wins to impose to the West, because I don't believe so naively like our presidents from any country, I think here is a very, very deep question about Islam. And it's nothing to do with Israel, and it's nothing to do with George Bush, and it's nothing to do with some of the people who say, here is into question which kind of war is going to happen vis-a-vis the mutation that our society is having. We have a mutation, a big mutation in our society.
Mutation, is that a fundamentalism?
Or? No, nothing to do with fundamentalism. Mm-hmm. Fundamentalism, no. We have a mutation. Sexual mutation, cultural mutation, we cannot deny it. And so there are things who are moving around, and we don't know where they're going to go. And suppose that the fundamentalism, Islam, or other fundamentalism, because also here there is fundamentalism in a degree which is more democratic, apparently. So what is going to happen? Probably it's going to change the art. And probably painting will, I can't predict that the horse cannot come back. Maybe will come back. And especially I believe in any utopia that you can have today vis-a-vis how we can solve the problem of the West. I believe as an utopia that we should let the cities and go to small comunas and have the possibility to still have a normal life and use technology only as communication of small things and not still polluting the life with all these things which are making possible life. So in that case, the horse will have it again. And why not? Wonderful horse if we need horses. Everything welcome. I'm pragmatic. We need a horse, we bring back the horse. Of course, we'll not be the same horse. Because the Christian art is not the art of Pompeii. And again, let's forget the idea that the painting come back and forward. There was realism before the Renaissance, whenever all the history pretend that they were not technicians. They did illusionistic art and they did three-dimensionality. I saw myself in Egypt, an incredible perspectiva, in the tomb of one of the queens of, I don't know, 1500 before Jesus. It was perfect, the perspectiva. So, is there any more questions?
No.
Okay, that's it.
The plan is that we're going to take a lunch break. Lunch will be provided for you here. And in about a half an hour, 35 minutes, we'll start again with work with presentations on Marjorie Rosh's textual work.
Please visit the Penn Book Center table to see some more of Marjorie's work and the book that we've prepared on Waldo Rumberg's work. Just visit there. We'll see you in half an hour.